I've entitled the sermon tonight, "In Everything, Give Thanks." It is the mark of a Christian who is saved, sanctified, and sealed for an eternity of thanksgiving. Well, you know what? In the providence of God, this week is Thanksgiving. I didn't plan this a year ago when I was working through the schedule on 1 Thessalonians, but God in His wisdom did that for us. I want to begin. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 is going to be the verse we're going to look at specifically. But I want to begin reading in verse 12 so you can get the context of these final encouragements to the church. "But we request of you, brothers, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brothers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Our verse tonight that we're going to look at in depth is verse 18. "In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." O God Almighty, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our minds and our hearts so that we would be engaged with a fervent love for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, it was a number of weeks ago, I received a voicemail on my phone from one of the dearest friends that I have. It was a season of busyness for this man, very, very busy, crowded season of life in his schedule, a new job, he's married, children, a new believer in the family. He was involved in his local church, getting ready for ministry, studying for some very important exams that he would soon take, both written and oral, that would take hours and hours and hours of studying and actually taking the exams. We were to get together one day for lunch, and he called me and had to cancel because he needed time to study for these exams. And he informed me that he couldn't get together, and he, in this voicemail, began to just relate to me all of the duties that he had to do, all of the scheduling chores, all of the tasks at work he had to do, everything that was just weighing him down. Halfway through his voicemail, he said this, and I had to go back to it and listen to it. I saved it. It was so good. And I quote for you. He said this. Right in the middle of all of those tasks, he interrupted himself and he said, quote, "But hey, Jesus is Lord. He saved us, justified us, sanctified, adopted, redeemed, cleansed, forgiven, gave us eternal life, sonship, eternity, facing us with our great and glorious God. Glory, hallelujah. Love you, brother. Talk to you later." Now, I kept that voicemail because that impacted me. Because here was a man overwhelmed with duties in his life, overwhelmed with a calendar on his computer that was full of things to do. How do you rejoice? How do you pray always? How do you give thanks in all circumstances when you're just so busy that you forget to do it sometimes? And right in the middle of that voicemail, his entire tone changed. Because he reminded himself of the gospel. He reminded himself of the grace of God. He reminded himself of what God had done and his position before God in Christ on behalf of the work of the Spirit. He gave thanks to God in that voicemail. And since then, we have gotten together, and I told him, I said, that voicemail encouraged me. That encouraged me. How do you give thanks in all circumstances in your life? I'm busy. You're busy. You have duties to complete, and I have duties to complete. How do we pray always? How do we rejoice always? How do we give thanks always? Now, Psalm 136 in verse 1 commands us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 136 goes through many verses showing us that we should give thanks to the Lord because of who He is and because of what He has done. Tonight, I want to encourage you with this very simple line. Thanksgiving is the badge of every true Christian. Thanksgiving is a badge of every true Christian. Now, when we come to 1 Thessalonians, we have looked at this book verse by verse, word by word, for the last year, and we know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this book to a church in the city of Thessalonica. He, on his second missionary journey, was passing through what is modern-day Greece, and he came through cities like Athens and Philippi and Corinth, and he came to Thessalonica, and he spent a significant period of time with this church. And he loved them, and he preached to them, and he cared for them, and he taught them the Word of God, and he ministered the gospel to them. He was a pastor to them. But persecution was so severe for him that one night he had to flee in the middle of the night very quickly. And so he fled a little bit north to the city of Berea. And later on another missionary journey, he wrote this book because he sent a comrade named Timothy back to the church in Thessalonica because he said, Timothy, I want you to go and make sure the church is doing well. I left quickly. I left without saying bye to them, really. I left without giving them a proper departure and a farewell. Would you go make sure they are doing okay? Timothy returned to Paul after that visit, and he said, Paul, they're doing great. They're walking with the Lord. They're being persecuted, but they're rejoicing. They're following Christ. They're looking forward to His return. They are loving the Lord. They are loving each other. They are working hard. And Paul then, in response to that news from Timothy, wrote this book of 1 Thessalonians. And the whole book is all about his joy in the Lord for their spiritual growth. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is really Paul's personal experience with them. It talks about theology, the gospel, salvation, repentance, conversion. And in chapters 4 and 5, Paul kind of turns to practical exhortations, to sexual purity, to loving one another, to work, to looking for the coming of the Lord. What happens to those believers who have died in the Lord? What's going to happen to them when Jesus comes back one day? How do you relate to pastors? How do you relate to elders? How do you relate to those that are in sin? How do you retaliate when people do evil to you? How do you rejoice always? Pray always? Give thanks? Such practical exhortations in this book. Beginning in verse 12, Paul concludes the book with giving responsibilities in church life. Here's how you should live within the context of the local church. Verses 12 and 13, which we read, talk about the church's responsibilities to the leaders. And then in verses 14 and 15, we look at responsibilities to one another. Don't repay evil for evil. Admonish those who are unruly. Be patient with all people. But in verses 16, 17, and 18, there are responsibilities that you have to yourself. living within the community of believers. That's what we're looking at tonight. Give thanks in all circumstances. Is it possible to give thanks in everything? Psalm 9 verse 1 says, you can give thanks to the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 18 verse 49 even says that thanksgiving is a form of evangelism to the nations. As they look at your thankfulness, it is a mark of evangelism to the nations. Now what I want to do tonight in this, if you're taking notes, I want to give you two main points tonight. The first point is going to be the exposition, the explanation of the text. And then I'm going to spend most time with the application of the text. The exposition, what does the verse mean? What is it saying? And then second of all, the application of the text. Now, in the meaning of the text, the exposition, you could write down number one, the command. I want to give you a couple of points here as we talk about the meaning of the text. The command, give thanks. The command in verse 18, look at it there, give thanks. It's clear. It's not a suggestion, it's not an idea, it's not a perspective. It's not an idea. It's not a proposal or it's not an offer. I mean, you make a proposal to your boss. But God, to His children whom He loves, whom He has saved and bought with the blood of His Son, He is telling, commanding, for their good and for His glory and for the evangelism of the others, give thanks. This is done by the help of the Holy Spirit. More on that in a few minutes. But not only is there a command, second of all, write down number two, the community. And now, you don't see it in the English form, but I want you to look again at verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. The verb in the original language is plural. It could be translated, all of you give thanks. All of you give thanks. Everyone in the community, no one excluded, is to give thanks. Psalm 35, verse 18, the psalmist writes, I will give you thanks, O Lord, in the great congregation. All people are called to give thanks together in the congregation. In fact, our scripture even reads, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Every person is included in this command to give thanks. You know, the story is told that in the 5th century A.D., there was a man who was writing by the name of Augustine. He was a church theologian, a church historian, really writing about the history of the church and giving theology. And he would say that Christians in the church would greet each other with a phrase in Latin that would read as this, Deo gratias, Deo gratias, which means thanks be to God. But then he continued to write this. Frequently, their conversation would be about the persecutions which raged against the church. But they finished their conversations with that phrase, Deo gratias, thanks be to God. What was your persecution like this week? Well, thanks be to God. What was your persecution like this week? Thanks be to God. In the community of believers, all of us together, we are commanded to give thanks. Friends, could I ask the hard question, how much of your conversation tonight, as you entered this building, was centered on giving thanks to the Lord with others? And maybe when you leave here tonight, you can make it your goal to say, let's give thanks in the car on the way home. As you're talking with people on the way out tonight, you can say, what are you thankful for? How can you give thanks to the Lord this week? that not only is there a command in the community, but third, if you want to jot this down, the circumstance, all times, just this little phrase, in everything. Don't just give thanks when things are good. Give thanks in everything. You say, well, Jeff, it's easier to worry. Well, yes, but you need to give thanks for all those things. Replace your worry with worship. Give it up to God in prayer and thanksgiving. Remember Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What do you do when you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, when you're struggling with the future? Pray. Be thankful. Give it up to the Lord in prayer. Friends, you can give thanks to the Lord when there's food in the pantry, when there's gas in the car, when there's money in the bank, when loans are paid, when mortgages canceled. But can you give thanks when there is no food in the pantry? Can you give thanks when there is no transportation, when the money is all gone, when the bills are looming over your head, when debt continues to rise and reminds you of how much you owe? Can you give thanks even then? It's easy to thank God when health is good, but do we thank God when illness interrupts our schedule? When illness threatens our life? It's easy to give thanks to God when you get a promotion and a raise, but do you give thanks to God when the money you have melts away and the job that you have is lost and the money that you had in the bank saved up builds wings, as it were, and it flies away? This is where the church comes in. So helpful. This is where membership, discipleship, building in each other's lives is so crucial. You say, what do you mean? Well, you and I, let's just say we get together this week or next week. We talk on the phone. You have a Thanksgiving activity at your home, and we all get together, and you talk about the week. You talk about your work. You talk about your family. You talk about your children. You talk about your grandchildren, whatever it could be. And the conversation slowly begins to turn into complaining. And the person that you're talking with, you can give them a loving admonition and say, have you thanked God for that yet? Have you thanked God that you've lost your job? Have you thanked God that God is doing something with you, even though right now financially it might seem hard, it might seem tough, and you don't know what God is doing? Have you thanked God for it? Have you thanked God for the conflict in your family and what God is trying to teach you? See, we don't think that way. The natural instinct is to complain. It's to worry, but that's where we need each other to lovingly remind each other to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 says this, let all filthy speech, silly talk, coarse jesting be put away from you. Remember that? Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 3. Let all that be put away from you. You say, well, how do I not talk that way with others? Well, here's the solution. You replace it with thanksgiving. Instead of talking in a filthy way, instead of talking with coarse joking, you give thanks to God. That Colossians chapter 3, if you want to turn back and look at this, Colossians 3 and verse 14 sort of emphasizes that we are to give thanks in all things. And the community helps us with that. Other believers help with that. Colossians 3, let me just look at the context, verse 13. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Oh, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When? All the time. Let the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, let it rule in your hearts 24/7, 365. Let Christ rule in your hearts. Oh, and be thankful as well. Look at the next verse. How do you do it? Verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. How? Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Do you see the phrase, give thanks, there three times in that paragraph? We are to give thanks in whatever we do, in word or deed. We are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, giving thanks. Let's just look at number four, still in the exposition. Number four here, you could just jot down the heading purpose. Purpose. Why does God command us to be thankful? Why? Well, because back to our scripture in chapter 5 and verse 18, give thanks in everything because, there's that little word, giving the reason. Here's why. Why does the God who made you and the God who saves you want you to be thankful? Because it's God's will for you. It's God's will. It's God's desire. It's what He wants. God brings everything into your life from His fatherly, tender, all-knowing, all-wise hand so that it would prompt you to thankfulness. Friends, do you realize that everything that happens, every situation, every relationship, every conflict, every confusion, every opposition, every miscommunication, everything happens from the loving hand of God to prompt us to thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you. It's what He wants. It's so that we would remember the goal of God's mercy, that He wants, God wants to manifest His love to us even more. He wants us to be thankful to Him. He wants us to remember Him. God wants that. That's His desire. That's His will. In fact, turn back again with me to Ephesians. And I want you to see this in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 gives a section on being filled with the Spirit in verse 18. And you say, well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, the beginning part of Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine. So Paul is saying, okay, don't be controlled by that substance. Don't let that control you. But on the other hand, be controlled by the Spirit. Let it be a daily renewing prayer. Lord, fill me today. Fill me today. Control me today. And if that happens, look what's going to happen in your life. Verse 19, you're going to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, the first thing that's going to come when you are filled with the Holy Spirit is you're going to want to meet with other Christians and encourage one another. You're going to want to meet with each other and talk to each other and fellowship with each other. Not only that, end of verse 19, you're going to be singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Your heart is going to be bubbling with joy. But then look at verse 20. Here's the third. Not only speaking to one another, not only singing in your heart, but third, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. God wants to control you. God wants to fill you. God wants to, every moment of every day, have you say, Lord, fill me, control me today. He wants that for you. He wants you to pray that and to be filled and controlled with the Spirit. And one of the results of that is that you'll be thankful to Him. you'll be thankful. Well, our scripture reveals this little phrase right at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." This is the ability. This is the ability. This is the only way that you can really adequately give thanks to the Lord, is if you're in Christ. As if you've been saved and redeemed from hell. If you've been bought with the blood of Christ. If you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, you've now been brought near by the blood of Christ. You now have access into the Holy of Holies by the love of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, to worship God because of what Christ has done. You are united with Christ. You're in Christ, and that's God's will for you, to be thankful, those of you who are in Christ. Friends, if you're a Christian, you can thank God because you have something invaluable that a non-Christian does not have. You have a place to go with every need you have. You can come to God in prayer. You can thank God for the throne of grace, that you can come before Him with direct access, with full access, with complete boldness to the throne of God to present your requests to Him. A story is told once of a Christian in the Roman Empire. He was being interrogated, being persecuted by a Roman persecutor. And the persecutor said this to the Christian. He said, "I will banish you." Well, the Christian said, "You can't do that." He said, I'm at home everywhere that Christ is." Well then, said the persecutor, "I will take away all your property." Well, said the Christian, "I have none," said the man, "and if I had any, you could not take away Christ from me, and as long as He is with me, I will be rich." "Well, fine then," the persecutor said, "I will take away your good name." And the Christian kind of laughed, and he said, no, that's gone already. "I count it a joy to be counted the scum of all things for Christ's sake." "I see," said the Roman governor. "Well, I will put you in prison." And the Christian responded and said, "You can do as you want, but I will always be free. For where Christ is, there is freedom." Said the prosecutor. He said this, "Well, I will take away your life." The Christian said, "Well, yes, you may take away my life, but then I will be in heaven, which is the truest life, and there you cannot hurt me." See, there is a man who had a steadfast joy in the Lord. And he was one who could give thanks in all circumstances. Friends, if there's no other reason for us to give thanks, let's give thanks for two reasons. Number one, it's what we'll be doing in heaven. It's what we'll be doing in heaven. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 11 and 12 say that the heavenly song in heaven includes thanking God. Thanking God. And second of all, it will describe Isaiah chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, the worship in the future period of the millennium on the earth, when Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth. Now, that's the meaning of the verse. Let's apply it. Let's talk about application for the remaining time that we have. And as we begin, I want to give you a warning. And to begin with this warning, I need to be honest with you that I am not a man who is thankful all the time. Elizabeth knows that. My children know that. Thankfulness is not something that comes natural to me. It's probably not anything that comes natural to anybody here. As one writer put it, the flower of thankfulness does not grow in nature's garden. We need to work at being thankful. We need to cultivate thankfulness in our lives. But here's a warning. Number one, being thankless is the mark of the ungodly man. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 is one of the most scathing sections in the New Testament on God giving over a people because of their sin. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, one of the marks of the ungodliness is that they don't give thanks to God. Same thing is found in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. A mark of the end times is that men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, boastful, proud, arrogant, and ungrateful. But number two, thanklessness is a cause for God's judgment. Jeremiah 5 and verse 7, God says to the people, I gave you this, but because you didn't respond to me, I'm going to judge you. Because you didn't respond in a way of thanksgiving, I will judge. Maybe we could just even remind ourselves, number three, the third warning is that being thankless is disobedience. It's disobedience. So then, why is it, Jeff, tell us, why is it that we find it so hard to be thankful? We find it so hard to be thankful. And friends, this week we're going to celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, and we're going to get together, and we're going to all go around the table and say what we're thankful for. We do that. But we're not talking about a day of the year. We're talking about in everything give thanks. Why is it hard to do that? I have a number of hindrances I want to give you. What are hindrances to thankfulness? And friends, these hurt. I just want to be honest with you. I struggled this week confessing sin because of these hindrances. But the grace of God is good. The first hindrance is this: pride. Pride is thinking too highly of yourself. If you think yourself unworthy of anything, you'll be thankful for everything. If you think that you're unworthy of anything, you'll be thankful for everything. And if you think that you're unworthy of any blessing, listen to this, you'll be thankful for the least blessing. The least blessing that God could give, you'll be thankful for it. Therefore, let us work our hearts to humility. One writer said, a proud man can never be thankful. Can never be thankful. Because he's so focused on himself. But not only is it pride, another hindrance, number two, is selfishness. Thinking too much of yourself. Pride is thinking too highly of yourself. Selfishness is thinking too much of yourself. You see, if I think too much of myself, I'm not going to think about the Lord. If I think too much about myself, I'm not going to need to thank the Lord because I think about me. And I think about Mr. Sovereign Me. Selfishness kills thanksgiving. And a third one that's similarly related, entitlement. Entitlement. Thinking too worthily of yourself. You deserve something. Do you feel like you're entitled to something? Do you feel like somebody owes you something? That you deserve a certain response from somebody? That you need something? That you're entitled to something? Then it's going to be hard for you to be thankful when it doesn't measure up to what you think you deserve. Like the academic scholar who's got all the degrees after his name, and he says, no, you need to call me by doctor. Because he feels that he's entitled to that. And anything less won't do. Christians, must I remind you that what we deserve is only one thing. And it's wrath. And anything other than wrath, every moment of our lives, is worthy of an eternity of thanksgiving. But fourth, the fourth hindrance to thankfulness is doubt. Doubt. That is thinking too lowly of God. And this is hard. This is tough because we are all prone to doubt. We don't trust God the way that we should. And when we doubt God, we're not thankful to God. Doubt is like a cloud. It's like a cloud that looms above and it hides the brightness and brilliance of the glorious sun. When you doubt God, and you begin to question God, and you begin to distrust God, it's hard to be thankful to God. What are we, number five? I think it's five. Another hindrance is criticism. Criticism. Just having a critical spirit. I mean, you know people like this, right? This is thinking too lowly of others. It's hard to be thankful when you're critical. It's hard to be giving thanks to God when you're finding the faults in others. You can't be thankful when you're critical of the other people that God has put in your life. Or to even more significantly, you can't be thankful to God when you're critical of who God is and what He has done. One more. Another hindrance to thankfulness is impatience. Thinking too unworthily of God. God, you're not doing what I think you should be doing right now. I've prayed and I've asked and I've requested. Why are you not doing this? And our impatience can squash thankfulness. It can strangle it. It can squeeze out all thankfulness because God isn't meeting your expectation and your timetable. And friends, this is hard. Because you and I pray for things. We pray for people. We ask God to work. We ask God to change. We ask God to convert people. We ask God to alter a situation. And when He doesn't do it, do we get impatient with God? Do we get impatient with Him? That can strangle thankfulness. You say, okay, Jeff, I get it. I get the hindrances to thankfulness, all of which I am guilty of. What's the foundation of thankfulness then? What is the foundation? If there's one thing that is the foundation, the cement, rock solid foundation that we should be thankful for, it's found in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. It's found in Psalm 54, verse 6. I will give thanks to your name, because it is good. It's Psalm 106, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, because He is good. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Friends, the foundation of thankfulness, listen to this, it must be rooted in who God is. A thankful heart and a thankful spirit must be founded upon the beautiful excellency of God and His amazing character. Don't just thank God for the water that comes from the divine spring, but thank God that He Himself is the spring. If we're only thankful for what God gives us, I read an article this week, that's the idol of materialism. If we only thank God for all of the stuff that He gives, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for giving me this, thank you for this, and adding more of this, and this, and this, and this. God, thank you for all of the things that you've given. That's the idol of loving stuff. Now, though that is a part of thanksgiving, I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to minimize and neglect giving thanks to the Lord for the many blessings that He gives. But friends, let us remember that we need to thank the giver for who he is rather than just for only the gifts. Charles Spurgeon said, "For he is good." Spurgeon said, "This is reason enough for giving thanks to God. Goodness is God's essence and nature, and therefore God is always to be praised, whether we are receiving anything from God or not." Did you hear that? Whether we're receiving anything from God or not, God is always worthy to be praised. Those who only praise God because he does you good, Spurgeon says, you should rise to a higher note and give thanks to God because he is good. Don't give thanks to God because he gives you good. Give thanks to God because he is good. Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest theologians in America's history, wrote in the 1700s, "True gratitude or thankfulness to God arises from a foundation that is loving God for who he is in himself." Before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, ever came about, in the beginning God created. Before that ever came about, God was infinitely worthy of thanksgiving. Even if he never created anyone, if he never created angels, if he never created Satan, and all of the events that happen in our life, all of the circumstances, all of the sins that are just so prevalent before our eyes day after day after day, and God is in control of all of this, but even before all of that happened, God was infinitely and eternally worthy of praise and thanksgiving because he's good. Do we love God for who he is, or do we love God because of what he gives? Do we love the gifts or the giver more? John Piper commented on this idea and put it this way: true gratitude must be rooted in something else that comes first, and that is namely a delight in the beauty and excellency of God's character. So God is worthy of our thanksgiving. And what is it that is going to give you fuel for thanksgiving in your life? It's this, Hebrews 12:28. "Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude." Friends, if you are a recipient of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're saved by the saving mercy of Christ, if you've been washed and cleansed and forgiven, and you've been bought and redeemed, and you are owned, then you have reason to give thanks. Because you are a beneficiary of the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn with me back to Colossians, please, if you would. Colossians 2. And I want to show this to you. The gospel produces thankfulness. And the way that the gospel works itself out in our lives will include thankfulness. Colossians chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 6. He says, "Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord." In other words, you're saved. You've received Christ as Lord. He's your Savior and he's your Master. He's your owner. He's your Lord. So, walk in him. And now there are three qualifying phrases. What does that look like to walk in the Lord? Number one, you are firmly rooted. You are firmly rooted. You're going deep in the Lord like roots. Number two, you're being built up in him and established in your faith. And then finally, look at the end of verse 7. You are overflowing with gratitude. Friends, if you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, then be overflowing with gratitude. Be overflowing with gratitude. You know, my notes before me have a whole page on going through 1 Thessalonians and showing all of the ways that we can be thankful to God, even as it is revealed in this book. Let me just read you a couple of what I jotted down. The gospel produces thanksgiving. Chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. God allows believers to work and labor and have steadfastness of hope. Chapter 1, verse 4. You can be thankful, Christian, because God has elected you to Himself. God chose you. Chapter 1, verse 5. God's gospel invaded the sinner's life and it brought change to you. Chapter 1, verse 9. God's gospel brings true repentance and change of heart and change of life. Remember that? You turn to God from idols in order to serve the living and the true God. God's gospel, chapter 1, verse 10, gives hope that Jesus will return and rescue us from the wrath to come. Chapter 2, Paul gives spiritual qualifications and shows the spiritual leaders who faithfully and humbly and fearlessly lead and preach the truth in the local church is a reason to give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, God gives the word of God, which is powerful, and it works in every believer. Chapter 3 and verse 12, God gives true believers love for one another. You can give thanks to God for that. And on and on and on we could go. But let me just give you one more. If you're in our text, look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. If there's no other reason to give thanks, let this just catapult you into a life of thanksgiving. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, look at verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will bring it to pass. Friends, have you thanked God for the transforming work of the gospel today? Have you come before the Lord with a heart that is full of joy and full of thankfulness and full of gratitude and said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you've died on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you took me even when I was dead in my transgressions and my sins, and you made me alive in Christ. You seated me in the heavenly places in Christ. One writer put it this way. He said, if you want to know the secret to being thankful, if you want to know the secret, it's this. Pray for a deeper sense of your own sinfulness. The more that you know your sinfulness, the more that you know your unworthiness, the more that you know your debt, the more that you know your guilt and your shame, and the deeper that you go, the more grateful you'll be to the Lord for His abundant, life-saving, life-giving mercy. It's like the hymn we sang earlier, Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Remember that? Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter, like a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. We are debtors of grace. If we struggle with thankfulness, friends, then go back to the scriptures and examine your biblical anthropology, the doctrine of man, and learn your sin. Learn what you deserve. Learn what God did to His Son so that you may be saved. Paul Tripp, one of the greatest biblical counselors, I think, he words things so well in our day and age. He put it this way. He said, if you're thankful, the following things will happen. Number one, you'll have a daily need for the gospel to saturate all of you. If you're thankful, you will acknowledge, I just need the gospel to saturate all of me every day. If you're thankful, you will be grateful to God daily for the rescuing, transforming, and enabling grace. Notice this, not just grace that saved you from hell, but grace that enables you to overcome sin now. Remember that? You don't have to present your members to sin. You don't have to. Those of you who are redeemed and your spirit indwelt, you can put to deed the deeds of the flesh through the work of the Spirit, and you need God's daily grace for that, and He gives it. If you're thankful, you'll be more in love with Christ than you are with a job, than you are with a hobby, and than you are with a friend or an activity. If you're thankful, your feeling of self-worth will be replaced by an assurance of God's overflowing grace. Maybe one more. Martin Luther camped on this in one of his writings. He said, if you are thankful, you will want to serve the Lord more frequently with His people. Isn't that right? I mean, the more thankful you are for what God has done in you and that He's doing through you to the other believers, you'll want to serve God with each other. You'll want to meet with each other. You'll want to disciple each other. You'll want to serve the Lord frequently. I wrote a little bit this week. I have 103 reasons why you can thank God. And I want to read just a couple of them for you quickly, and then we'll close. Just to help you. You can thank God for life itself. You can thank God for health. You can thank God for happy memories. You can thank God for a job. You can thank God for personal belongings that are dear to you. You can thank God for a father and a mother and a son and a daughter and grandchildren. You can thank God for food and weather and holidays. You can thank God for the day of corporate worship. You can thank God for the freedom we have in our nation. You can thank God for the police force and the fire department and teachers and schools and doctors and nurses, paramedics and dentists. You can thank God for modern medicine and drugstores and hospitals. You can thank God for the sun. You can thank God for old friends and new friends and smiles and encouragements from others. You can thank God for your house or apartment, good books to read, modern technology, the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard. You can thank God for your imagination, for your instincts, for your memory, for dreams, for intuition. You can thank God for clean water and clean air. You can thank God for the internet to read, learn, study, grow from godly theologians. Kind of a selfish one. You can thank God for Starbucks. You can thank God for heaters, air conditioning, toilets, showers, deodorant, really, toenail clippers, a bed, towels, blankets, beauty in a variety of colors that God paints in the sky every day. You can thank God for God's glory seen in a telescope and God's glory seen in a microscope and everything in the middle. You can thank God for animals of all sorts and sizes. You can thank God for the eternal truth of God. You can thank God for your former pastors who preached to you. You can thank God for the person who evangelized you. You can thank God for your present pastors and elders and leaders and for your Sunday school teachers, those who prayed for your salvation. You can thank God for good churches in the city, in the state, in the nation, and around the world. You can thank God for old-fashioned preachers who still believe and preach the Bible as the real Word of God. You can thank God for wise theologians who teach our preachers, for missionaries who take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You can thank God for the Word of God, for the apostles and prophets who wrote down the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can thank God for the anonymous scribes who copied the Bible manuscripts for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You can thank God for the noble army of Bible translators who brought God's Word to you and to me in our own native tongue. We can thank God for Bible publishers and Bible societies, for the privilege of speaking to God in prayer, for God's protection over us day and night, for a clean conscience, for the army of God, for God's family, the people of God. We can thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. We can thank God that we weren't created a fallen demon. There's no salvation found for them. You can thank God the spiritual gifts He has given by which we can use and encourage and edify other believers and worship God. You can thank God for the creation of the world by God's direct, miraculous, and unchanging decree. You can thank God for election, predestination, glorification, sanctification, common grace, irresistible grace, amazing grace, God's patience, God's wisdom, God's love. You can thank God that you're not in hell this moment. You can thank God for salvation full and free. You can thank God for justification by faith. You can thank God for adoption into the family of God. You can thank God for total forgiveness of all of your sins, past, present, and future. You can thank God for the gift of the Lord's Supper and the opportunity to remember Christ's death. You can thank God for the picture of baptism, for the honor of being a slave of Jesus Christ. You can thank God for the promise of heaven, for the privilege of one day seeing God face to face. You can thank God for the precious and atoning blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that washes away our sin. You can thank God for the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ that conquered death and hell and Satan. You can thank God for the ascension of Jesus into heaven, which guarantees His return one day in the same way. You can thank God for Christ's present work at the Father's right hand, who intercedes right now for you as Satan the roaring lion is accusing you before the Father. You can thank God for the certain hope that Jesus Christ will return one day in the future. You can thank God for the Holy Spirit who regenerates and imparts salvation and draws and secures and will glorify you. You can thank God for the preaching of the Word, the conviction of the Word by the Spirit of God. You can thank God that God's decrees are absolutely, unarguably, eternally fixed, can never be thwarted. One more. You can thank God that God is presently, currently, actively, immediately working every single event into His perfect plan for His glory and for your good.
Thank you.
That's why Thomas Watson could write in his great book on a godly man's picture. He could say it so bluntly, and he's right. He said, an unthankful person is a monster in nature. He's a paradox. He's a contradiction of Christianity. He's the scorn of heaven and the plague of the earth. An ungrateful man cannot do anything well except one thing: die. Friends, I want to encourage you this week. Make a list for yourself of what you're thankful for. How can you remember the gospel daily in your lives? How can you remember God Himself and remember the gospel and all of the gifts that He showered upon you and be grateful to the Lord? How can you remind yourself of that daily, and how can you remind others by being a thankful person? How can you be a witness to others by being so thankful? Friends, what an example of thankfulness that we have in all of the pages of Scripture. We are to give thanks to the Lord because He is good. In everything, give thanks, for this is the mark of a Christian who is saved, sanctified, and sealed for an eternity of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we would ask that by your Holy Spirit you would take the truth, the convicting truth of being thankful, and forgive us, O Lord, that we're not thankful enough. But thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love, your patience with us. May we be overwhelmed by your goodness this week and give thanks to you because of who you are and because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.